But first, almost half a year into the Obama administration's efforts to reform federal technology, five of seven short-term milestones are on schedule to be completed June. Now, one of these reforms is moving back office systems to the cloud, and that will get a big boost early next month. Federal News Radio's Jason Miller brings us details on the new contract opportunity and a progress report on the other reforms. Good morning, Jason.
Good morning, Tom and Amy.
So tell us about the big cloud computing contract coming in May. What's that all about?
Well, the General Services Administration will release a request for quotation for email as a service by May 10th. Now, this will be a blanket purchase agreement. This will be similar to what we saw with infrastructure as a service, but this will be much bigger. Vivek Kundra is the federal CIO. He says agencies are spending $20 billion on systems that could move to the cloud, and he says email is the most obvious one.
We're already seeing 15 agencies that have identified 950,000 email boxes across 100 email systems that are going to move to the cloud. GSA, on May 10th, is going to release a $2.5 billion procurement to try to consolidate this. This represents a huge opportunity for everybody who's in this room to aggressively compete for this new business in the cloud space and provide the government with the best value and the most innovative technologies.
Now, Kundra was talking to a group of vendors and agencies yesterday at the White House with an update on the 25-point IT reform plan announced in December. Now, as you heard him say, several agencies are already moving down the path. The Agriculture Department, GSA, for their internal email, are already down this path. But Kundra says this is a huge opportunity, and it's not just for email and collaboration software, but all the pieces that go with email and collaboration software and all the kind of add-ons, if you will. And $2.5 billion is really the big, big first cloud computing contract that's coming from the government, or at least the opportunity. It's not one contract. In fact, we got an update on some of the progress that USDA is making yesterday. So they're really one of the first large agencies to jump to the what they call email as a service. And they've already moved 17,000 of their 120,000 people to Microsoft's email cloud. They're moving about 1,600 employees a day. And USDA Deputy Secretary Kathleen Merrigan says she expects the agency to finish the full migration, meaning all 120,000 employees, by the end of December.
So, Jason, aren't there questions, though, about who owns the data, data ownership, data sovereignty? But when you put your email in a cloud, in a sense, do you get a sense of whether that question's going to be answered or has been answered?
That's such a big issue. I mean, that's one of the things that I think a lot of people are looking at. In fact, I talked to a Justice Department attorney recently about this specific issue, and DOJ is actually watching GSA and USDA very closely to see how they're doing with this issue. And the issue is this, and I'm going to try to break it down fairly easily. But of course, I'm not a lawyer, so it may still be complicated from that perspective. But the concern is that if Agency X buys cloud services from Provider Y, Provider Y has data centers around the world. The government's data doesn't live on one server and in one place many times like it does today. It could live anywhere on any server in the world based on that data center set up from Provider Y. Now, that's the benefit of the cloud computing. You can get to your data anywhere at any time. But it's also a challenge or even a problem, especially when there's a lawsuit. If the government needs to get that data, what rules apply around that data? What privacy rules? Do they fall under the U.S. law? Do they fall under the country where that data happens to reside at that moment? For instance, the European Union has a much tougher data privacy law than the U.S., and that could cause some major complications for agencies around if there's a lawsuit. Now, I caught up with Vivek Kundra after the press conference yesterday at the White House to ask him that exact question.
It's really important to understand that we're also dealing in a global economy. A lot of U.S. companies are the ones that stand to benefit from the cloud computing revolution from a global context, the ability to be able to sell into global markets. That is one of the reasons I've actively engaged Ambassador Verveer in the State Department to make sure that we're very, very focused on making sure we're working through these issues, thinking about the international dimensions of cloud computing.
When people look at the GSA procurement for their own internal cloud, they're calling a specific provision that was added late, the Google Amendment, where you could no longer have the idea you had to have your data located in CONUS. I think that raised some flags in the industry, in the government itself. I guess going back to my original question is what's going to be in this RFQ to ensure that there is no so quote-unquote Google Amendment?
Obviously, I can't comment on the procurement until it comes out, and GSA will comment on that. But what I will say is we have to balance our interests, sort of our national economic interests, with our interests as far as looking at how do we move forward in a very safe and secure manner. And I reject the notion that you've got to pick one or the other.
Now, Kundry says the risks from cloud computing are sometimes overhyped. He says agencies already have more than 4,500 systems managed by vendors. So really, agencies really do understand that risk to a great extent.
Well, it sounds like they're making progress on cloud. And by the way, we're speaking with Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. Some of the other IT reform initiatives, what's the progress report on those?
There are several of them, including data center consolidation, governance and IT. Governance and oversight over IT projects are two really big other areas that Kundry highlighted yesterday. As we reported yesterday, he says 137 data centers will close this year across the government. And all that information is already on data.gov, so people can go find out which data centers where and what cities, which agencies. 39 have already been shut down. 98 more will go dark in the coming months. And these are spaces that are 500 square feet or more. So these are, you know, fairly big, significant-sized data centers. Overall, there are about 325,000 square feet of data center space that will be closed down by the end of 2011, 5.5 football fields, just to give you a sense of the size. Kundry said that that around data centers, one of the reasons why this closure, this consolidation is happening, is that of the 2,000 data centers in use now, most are at a utilization rate of less than 27% and a storage utilization rate of less than 40%, meaning a lot of waste is going on. Now, there is a lot of concern about this data center consolidation initiative, especially from Capitol Hill. Well, lawmakers will see, okay, what's happening, which centers are closing, and then, okay, is that going to affect jobs in my district? So I asked Kundry about that as well, about how OMB is alleviating any concerns from lawmakers.
I've actually been very encouraged as far as the support for shutting down these data centers. But I think as we go beyond the 137, I'm sure we'll be dealing with a number of those issues.
My understanding about the data that you guys have put up on data.gov around the data centers is that they don't include number of jobs. Was there any thought to include the number of jobs in there just to try to get in front of those questions?
That's going to depend agency by agency. For example, if you look at the HHS data center that is being shut down, a lot of what's going to happen is the people who are working on managing servers and routers and switches and so forth will eventually be moved to higher order work.
Now, around governance, Kundry pointed to the TechStat sessions. OMB has already run 80 of them on IT projects that need a little bit of extra attention. OMB also is revamping the IT investment review process at the project level. Now, this could mean some changes to what they call the Exhibit 300 document, which is the business case agencies must submit for every major IT program. And there's also going to be new data on the IT dashboard, specifically around contract awards and as they relate to IT projects. Now, I caught up with Roger Baker, the Veterans Affairs Department's CIO, after the event to find out more, get some analysis about the impact of these IT reforms at the agency level.
This is a result of the VEC listening to a lot of folks and all the CIOs around government and implementing the plan that we told them we thought we needed. Data center consolidation, all the CIOs agree on that. Better program management, we all agree on that. This is OMB putting its weight behind what I think the CIOs know we need to do. And so while VA had worked towards data center consolidation, having OMB pushing and questioning and asking where we are on the project moves that along. We're working much more on the program management side and making certain that we've got program management skills.
Now, there are also two initiatives that are behind schedule. Kundry said he would hope to give CIOs more authority over what they call commodity IT purchasing, as well as they want to move agency budgets toward agile development, which is the smaller chunks, shorter time frames, but you need to change the way agencies are funded. Both of these are running into some challenges on the Hill. Not necessarily bad challenges, but there's always lots of questions when it comes to changes in how agencies are funded. Kundry says the administration is working with the Hill very closely on potential changes in the 2012 budget. They don't have yet a definitive answer, but that's why these initiatives may be delayed.